Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Welcome in. Final score 25-16. The Vikings over the Jaguars in Week 14. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. We'll get to Gus Bradley coming up. The first word with the head coach, Jeff Lagerman, is standing by outside of the Jaguars locker room. Field goal battle early. The Jags had a lead in this game of 16-12 and then gave up a scoring drive. Got a couple of goal line stands in the game, but in the end, Minnesota just did too much to get the win today, guys. Fred, what's up?
What do you think? Hey, all is well, man.
Yeah.
All is good. Yeah, came up short. You know, I thought the defense had some pretty decent showing out there. You know, the goal line stops there, I thought those were great. The big plays, not so much.
Yeah.
So just not doing enough quite enough to get it done.
Yeah, big plays allowed and also a big key penalties today. 14 right. Penalties for 114 yards, many of them extending drives. You had the roughing the punter. You had, which right there, that was maybe the key play of the whole game. Because right. Even though they drove it down and the Jags had the goal line stand, took more time off the clock, put the Jags deep in their own territory, took some momentum away.
Yeah, four or five false starts today?
Yeah, five.
Five today.
I got five, yeah. And that's not I just lack of focus. I don't even want. Well, I guess discipline does fall in that same category when it's lack of focus. But that shouldn't happen. I don't know. The offense, they didn't do terrible. They just didn't do enough.
Let's go outside of the locker room. Jeff Lagerman has Gus Bradley. Jeff.
All right. Thank you, JP. Gus, you guys end up taking the lead in the second half, 16-12. And boy, a series of special teams miscues certainly didn't help the cause.
No, it didn't. You know what? We knew they're a really good special teams unit. We had to stand up to it. Good returners. And, we just didn't come out as strongly as we wanted to in that area.
Defensively, also an opportunity to dictate. You guys talked earlier in the week about, the next step for this defense is to be able to dictate the outcome of a ball game, and an opportunity there as well.
Yeah, we didn't get any turnover or takeaways like we'd hoped. I think we got one down the goal line. A couple goal line stands, which were big. I thought they battled. But you're right, didn't do enough to change the outcome when we had the lead.
How frustrating is it for 2 weeks, the offensive production, to not be where it needs to be also to get the wins?
Well, you're right. I think we had, 310 yards or something like that. But, to be able to run the ball and get some explosive passes is important. But we had the lead in the fourth quarter like we wanted. And then it's really, we got to take shared responsibility. All three units got to be on their game in order for us to win, and we weren't.
All right. Thank you, Gus.
Okay. Thank you.
Gus Bradley, outside of the Jaguars locker room, will come back. Jeff Lagerman goes inside. More with Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey coming up. Final score 25-16. Vikings improved to 7-6. The Jaguars have dropped their eighth in a row to fall to 2-11. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Here's what our members say about the Vistar Credit Union experience.
I opened up an account here because it was easy and it was no fees.
And all the services they provide without any additional costs, it's amazing.
I do all my business here now. It's one-stop shopping for me. I never forget it's my money.
To join, visit any branch or VistarCU.org. At Vistar, we never forget that it's your money. Federally insured by NCUA. All new accounts subject to approval.
Did you know each year more than 46,000 people die from a drug overdose? That's more than from car accidents or gun violence. Half of those 46,000 deaths are related to opioid abuse. Smart Pharmacy has alternative non-narcotic solutions for pain therapy. They offer customized topical pain creams to be applied directly to the site where you are experiencing pain. Ask your physician about Smart Pharmacy's pain therapy alternatives or visit smartpharmacy.com, the official pharmacy of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. While NFL coaches and players use Surface Pro 4 this season, fans at home can show their fandom with the same device. Now available, the Surface Special Edition NFL type covers. And for a limited time, buy a Surface Pro 4 in any NFL type cover and get 15% off NFL Game Pass and a chance to win Super Bowl 51 tickets. Visit surface.com/NFL to learn more. Get your Surface at a Microsoft store or online today. Must be U.S. resident 18 or older. Ends January 1st, 2017. See website for official rules.
Game day is so much more enjoyable if you don't have to worry about finding a parking space. Ride the JTA Game Day Express and park in one of their five convenient lots. Tickets start at just $7. Final score 25-16. Vikings over the Jags. We go inside the locker room. Blake Bortles is with Jeff Loggeman.
All right. Thank you, JP. Blake, it's got to be tough, this football team. You know, 8 consecutive losses. It's been a long time since you've had a victory here in Jacksonville. Not easy, is it?
No, not at all. It's difficult, you know, but, you know, I think that, you know, all you can do is put your head down, continue to work, you know, because it's, you know, I think and fully believe that the right people are in place. You know, we just got to go win. We got to play better.
Offensively for you guys, some opportunities there in the ball game, special teams-wise, plenty of opportunities that were lost. Defensively, they had an opportunity. So, I mean, really, this is another game you can say all three phases can be accountable.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, they would tell you that, you know, each phase, you know, they could have done things better and, you know, had some missed ops as we did offensively. You know, but I thought there were some good things, you know. We didn't turn the ball over. You know, I thought Marquise played a hell of a game. They were doing a lot of stuff to try and take A-Rob away, and Marquise did a good job stepping up and making some big plays.
What next for this football team?
Yeah, I think just continue to keep working. That's all you can do. Watch this, you know, learn from this tomorrow, move on, and get ready. You know, I think we got a cool opportunity to go play 3 divisional opponents. You know, as they're all fighting to win the division, we get a chance to go play them and hopefully beat all 3 of them.
All right, thank you, Blake.
Appreciate it.
Blake Bortles inside the Jags locker room with Jeff Loggeman. Final score 25-16. Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey back with us. The quarterback stats today, if you want to go stats, 23 of 37, 257, a touchdown, 91 rating and change for Blake. There were some balls high, you know, that's been a little bit of an issue throughout the season, but some of those today. Overall, would you make a Blake's performance?
I'm looking at the turnover column or interception column. I don't see a turnover.
That's right.
So, I mean, for me, I'll take that all day. He didn't hurt the team, you know. Maybe a C. I got a text from a friend. Said, Fred, you got to give him an F today. You can't give him a C. But as long as Blake's not, he's not out there fumbling or throwing turnovers. Or, I mean, picks. We can fight with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say an F, certainly. I mean, the one near interception was a ball he got crushed on as he delivered it, you know, and that just came out wobbly, and that really wasn't on him at that time, and Allen Robinson able to break that up. You know, Marquise Lee bailed him out with a couple of really nice catches today, but you know what? You got to have to get some of that out of your wide receivers if you're going to put up good numbers in the National Football League. He was just okay, you know, but didn't hurt them, just didn't do enough, as the guys pointed out on the game broadcast. Once he threw that touchdown to Walters, which was a great throw, you know, simple throw, but a well delivered ball. They really didn't do anything offensively from that point on.
Yeah, back to back 3 and outs, and then a blocked field goal.
Right.
Those were the last 3 drives, and that's not going to get it done for this Jaguars offense. Now, you know, first half they had the back to back 3 and outs to start the game, and then they got some field goal drives going, and then the back to back 3 and outs to close out the ball game. When you know you're coming off a. They just gave up a touchdown to give up the lead, 18-16. They go 3 and out. Then they got the fumble at the goal line. Another 3 and out after that. There was just no movement at all in key times when you needed to get something going, and there was just no way to get it started today.
No, didn't have a rhythm, you know, consistently enough. And, yeah, you know, unfortunately for this team, every scoring opportunity they have to capitalize on. when Jason Myers misses a 41-yard field goal. Put him-
a lot of special teams errors today. How out of character was that?
Well, it is. You know, they have a really good special teams unit. We felt like we need a change. We need to gain a possession somehow. That's why we had the fake punt. You know, give credit to Malley, did a good job coming up with the scheme. The players executed it. We needed it. And it gave us that extra possession at the end of the first half to where we got that possession and could come out in the second half. So everything that we had hoped it did, it did. But you're right, we knew a talented return game on their part. And, you know, he got a long one on us. But there's some other unforced errors that we had too.
Yeah, you've defended Mike throughout the season, saying it's execution, not scheme. Did you see any things today that make you say it's not moving in the right direction?
Well, you know, the execution. I mean, there's some plays you look at defensively. We gave up some explosive plays. Special teams is when you go against a very talented unit like they have on special teams. You got to be on your game. They gave us a couple different looks, and we just didn't execute as well as we needed to. Good decisions. I thought he made very good decisions. I haven't seen his overall stats, but I felt like just the decisions he made and, you know, great throw on third down for a touchdown. You know, just executed just how we had hoped as far as putting the game plan together. Again, with high emphasis of taking care of the ball.
Gosh, you win the turnover battle. You stop him on the goal line twice with a goal line stand and a fumble, and yet somehow you come up on the short end of it. You just at any point throw your hands up in the air.
Well, it's, you know, it's special teams. I did think special teams was a big part of it because of the field position and the penalties that we had, whether it was a blocked punt, partially blocked punt, roughing the punter, you know, penalties that changed the field position, you know, not coverage units. So that was an aspect that we usually can count on them. I know the return teams haven't been up to par like we had hoped, or I mean the coverage teams, but and we knew this was a big challenge, and we put it on the table for everybody to know, hey, we need a big-time game on the special teams, and we just didn't meet that challenge as well as we'd hoped.
What was the key with your goal line stands?
Well, goal line is such a mentality. When, you know, we always talk to our players about give us an inch and we'll protect it. And so it'll be great examples to talk about that with our players, that no matter how close they get, you have to have that mentality and really believe something good's going to happen, and they did.
They had a couple of long passes. Did you see them on tape taking more of those shots lately?
Well, we knew that they had a controlled passing game, but they did take shots. We brought some different pressures. They hit us on a pressure that we installed this week. We thought we could, you know, get a little bit more heat on the quarterback. And they had a go route on Prince. But, you know, overall, you know, I thought we played pretty well defensively, other than the stops at the end again. We need to get stops. You know, when we got the lead, I think they got, what, two touchdowns in the fourth quarter? One right when the fourth quarter started, I believe, and then another one. You know, in that fourth quarter, we need to, you know, when we got the lead, remember I talked to you about dictating the outcome of the game. And that's why I say it's a shared responsibility.
Is that – You take your first lead, and then they come right back and score a touchdown. Is that sort of where this team is at right now? It doesn't know how to keep that momentum.
Well, you got to make your own momentum. You know, create your own. I think that with big plays, when you have opportunities to get the lead, it's a 60-minute game. So I don't know if you look at it and go, okay, now we got a lead. Now, you know, you just got to play and play. You know, like you're behind all the time. And I think that mentality. But you know, we're just still. It's like you're plugging your finger in a hole again. You know, it's penalties now. You know, we got to take care of penalties. Where that was an issue before, I thought we cleaned that up. They showed up again today, and taking care of the ball, you know, I thought we were pretty good.
A-Rob, just one catch, three targets. Is it surprising he wasn't more involved today?
No, they got a good secondary. That's a very talented defense, very talented defense. So sometimes you know, you got to take what they give you.
And then Marquise made a couple of great catches. Are you just seeing? Do you see him take another step each week?
Well, they're all competing, but he's really standing out. I think his efforts. I don't want to single him out like he's a guy only playing with effort, but he is. He's just. I like where he's at right now. I think he's playing with a great competitive spirit, and you know, he's competing in his route running, and he's competing in catching, he's competing in blocking.
Bradford made a couple plays with his feet and certainly extended some plays in the pocket. Is that something you've seen from him a lot, or is it
No, not too much. I think that when we pressure, you know, sometimes a linebacker might have a two-way go, and we didn't win enough of those two-way goes. You know, with blocker, you know, when a running back comes up and blocks a linebacker, you know, we got to keep challenging guys to win those one-on-ones. You know, just like a D lineman, if you get a one-on-one, you got to win some of those.
TJ,
kind of the workhorse the first time since he got injured and anything good?
Well, he was closer. I don't know if he was 100% again today, but closer enough to where his reps, you know, were going to be increased with Denard out and with Chris Ivory out. So I thought he played, you know, real good effort based on what I saw during the game.
I ask you this just about every week. How do you think you'll respond now at 2-11? Do you think it gets tougher for them to bounce back and respond with each loss?
Oh, it's tough, man. It is. I'm not going to lie about that. I mean, you know, it's sometimes it challenges your inner strength a lot. And I think that it's tough. I feel for all those guys in the locker room to come out. Do I think they'll come out and play with great effort? Without a doubt. Without a doubt. It'll hurt tomorrow. It'll hurt Tuesday. It'll hurt Wednesday. And they start getting out of it a little bit late afternoon Wednesday. And then they'll go on their professionals and they'll compete their tails off. But, I compliment them, man. That what we're going through right now and how it's challenging their character, it's tough. But, I know I appreciate them.
You just pretty much run out of things that you could tell them at this point?
No, I never run out of things. There's always things to talk to them about. And, this game teaches you so much. And I do believe that this will bring us to greater places, but it's just challenging.
Gus, how do you deal with it personally? We're going on 2 months of losing straight now, and how do you get up for
it? Right. Well, I think, the advantage that I have going through this is I'm with them. You know, so I'm with these guys every day, and I see them. So there is no doubt I feed off of them. Without a doubt, I feed off of them.
What's the deal with the lack of explosive plays? Why can't this offense get play? I mean, they were giving him a pretty decent bunch last year. And this year, it's not happening.
Well, I think it's run and pass. We need them. And, it starts off. I thought that, right away they got some pressure on us. I thought Nathaniel and Doug and John Benn did a nice job as far as changing up some things to kind of slow that part down. It starts with protection. You got to protect so you can have a chance to throw, shots downfield. And I think for the most part, we've done a pretty good job with our protection. But, we just got to keep improving so we can take even more shots. I don't know how many explosives we had today. We'll take a look at that. But I know Marquise had, a couple.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
.com/footballisfamily.
No purchase necessary. Legal license to U.S., Canada, except QBC. 18 plus. Void where prohibited. And 12 p.m. PTO on loan 2017. See Ticketmaster.com/footballisfamily. For rules and alternative entry. Message and data rates may apply. Up to 2 auto responses to entry. Sponsor Ticketmaster LLC.
Technology today is always changing, but one thing has remained consistent for
lack of explosive plays. That you did get a couple PIs, and there were two explosive plays to Marquise, but this is you're wanting, I'm sure, more consistency in that area.
Right. Yeah. We got some PIs on, some of that stuff. Trying to give those guys a chance. Not all those were really great throws, but it was good that we got the call. And then, like you said, I thought Keith played really well today. Had a good day, but I don't know. I don't know why it's not happening or what the reason is. The play comes in and, there's shots called, throughout the game, and we're not executing.
Not a good game for A-Rod today. You only targeted him 3 times. Were you expecting better production after the meeting on Monday?
Yeah, they did a lot of stuff to take him away. They played a safety over top of him a lot, which, kind of limits you a little bit as an X receiver by yourself. But I thought he did a good job of staying into the game, staying involved, and making, a big play when it counted. He had a big catch on the right side, pick up a first down. But they did some stuff to take him away. And then, I think that kind of allowed Marquise to have a big day. And he did a good job taking advantage of that.
Blake, how much has Marquise really just improved that you've seen just over the last couple of months?
Yeah, he's always kind of been, the 3 years that we've been here, everybody's kind of known how talented he was. It was just really a matter of staying healthy. He was kind of banged up the first 2 years, and this year is really the first year where he's been 100% healthy going into the year. So it was kind of everybody was excited that, we'd have him, and we were excited because we knew what we had in A-Rob and Hearns, and it was like, kind of now we got the third guy coming along. I think he's exceeded expectations of everybody and done done a really good job. You know, he's continued to play well. He plays as hard as he possibly can, which, you know, as a quarterback, that's all you can ask for.
You guys feel like you tried everything. I mean, it's just, you know, you say, you get up here, and that's tough, and I don't know if, you know, and you come back to, you know, well, we're running the ball more. Throw the ball, you know, I mean, throw your hands up.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. You know, like you said, I don't know. I wish I knew how to fix it or what the solution was. But I think the one thing you can't do is start to point fingers. And, you know, I believe in, you know, that there's nobody that would do that in our locker room. And I think that's why it's such a special group of guys. You know, and it's kind of, it's hard, right? Because obviously what we're doing is not working, and it's hard to believe in kind of, I guess, our routine, because there's no positive results. But there's nothing you can do besides continuing to work. You know, you start pointing fingers and blaming people and coming up with excuses, it's just going to tear the team apart, and, you know, that does nobody any good.
A lot of screen passes today. The running back's very involved in the passing game as well. Did you feel like in the game you were ever really able to get into a rhythm?
You know, it felt good. Missed a couple throws, you know, but it felt fine throwing the ball. I thought, you know, we were in a rhythm. You know, we had talked about working some screens. We wanted to get some in the red zone, and I think we got a couple down there, and then we got some in the regular field. You know, but it's hard. You know, third and 10 plus, it's kind of like, you know, you screwed up the first two downs, let's not mess this up. You know, so a screen's usually good there, a draw or something quick. You know, and I think TJ did a good job of you know, catching everything and making positive plays.
Blake, how much do you miss having guys like Julius Thomas and Mercedes just to throw the ball over the middle? Because it seemed really today that you guys were really working the edges.
Yeah, those guys, you know, both those guys are unbelievable players, and they're big targets. You know, they're big tight ends. You know, Mercedes is a guy that we lean on a lot in protection. He does some really good things, and Julius is a big target that can run around and make some plays. You know, so it's tough to have those two guys out. You know, but I think Alex Ellis and Neil Sterling and Ben Koyak have done a good job stepping up in their opportunities and making plays. So we got to just find ways, you know, to kind of, you know, I guess make up for the lack of those guys and their size in the middle.
The last three games of the season are going to be against teams you've already faced. So does that make a whole lot of difference going against a team that you've seen instead of looking at them on film and then trying to attack?
Yeah, it definitely helps out. And I think it's cool because, I mean, those three guys are in contention to win the division, and we get a chance to go play them. So I think it'll be awesome to go play those three divisional opponents, you know, and hopefully beat all three of them.
Favor the fact that it's a spoiler role, or do you go, I don't really want to be a spoiler?
Yeah, you know, I think there's different ways to look at it. You know, I think for me it's kind of, you know, these are three teams and one of them's going to win our division, so let's go see how we play against the team that's going to win our division.
Remember the missed throw you had to Sterling on the high ball early in the game? Is it throws like that that you feel hold back this offense more, or is it more or less missing the plays downfield when they are there?
Yeah, you know, I think it's all of it. I think, you know, the plays down the field, you know, we talk about it all the time. When we take a shot down the field, we're expecting 40% completion on what we consider down the field throws. So we know those are low percentage throws, but it's about giving guys an opportunity to go make a play and, like today, get some PI calls. You know, the one to Neil across the middle, it's like, you know, those we're expecting to complete those. We're expecting to have that and move the chains and stay on the field. So I think those hurt you a little more. But I think overall it's just a, you know, a lack of consistency really in all phases.
Has Marcus become sort of the go-to rely guy at this point?
You know, I don't know if I'd say that. I think, you know, with Hearns out, having, you know, Marquise on one side and A-Rob on the other, you have two pretty good choices. And you know, like I said, they did some stuff to kind of take A-Rob away today. And that's kind of what can happen when you're playing X and you're over there by yourself. And, you know, Keith kind of gets to go over there and play on the other side with a bunch of guys so he can run all around and do some different stuff. And he's taking full advantage of it. So I think, you know, he's a guy that you try to get him the ball and hit him in stride because he can move and he's, you know, he's usually hauling across the middle or doing whatever. So, you know, he's definitely a reliable option.
In a way, you know, all the attention that A-Rod gets and the struggles that he's having dealing with that has been good for Marquise.
Yeah. Marquise is definitely taking advantage of people trying to, you know, take away A-Rod.
You mentioned last week that this was a nightmare. Are you just, at this point, counting down the days so you can exhale, reboot, and try to fix your issue?
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't say that. You know, it's tough. I think any time you lose, and after every game, You know, I know for me personally, it's I can't wait to play on Sunday the following week and get another opportunity and hopefully try and erase some of this stuff that's going on and maybe wake up from this nightmare. You know, and it's just kind of you think about more so, you know, with these last 3 weeks left and then having to live 6 months until you get another opportunity, I think is more kind of more fearful than counting down the days till it's over. I don't want to have to go through those 6 months.
On the other hand, would it be just easier to just, whether it's A-Rob or whether it's Hearns or Marquise or even Walter for that matter, just to throw one down the field long 60 or to just loosen something,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Things up too.
Yeah, that stuff's tough. And, you know, we talk about it all the time, whether you complete those or not, you know, it scares the defense a little bit, you know, with them knowing that you have the ability to do that stuff. And we didn't really connect on any of them today, but, you know, I think we got two or three PIs. And definitely missed, you know, some, you know, I know missed Marquise in particular on a post, you know, but I think, you know, it's good, you know, it's good for, to be able to do that stuff and, you know, air it out a little bit and let them know you can do that. And there is a threat of a deep ball. Good. Thanks.
Downs to the Jaguars 18. Third downs, they were only 3 of 11 on third down, Minnesota. So the Jags defense solid on third down again. The Jaguars 7 of 16. Total yardage net, 377 for the Vikings, 315 for the Jags. Rushing yardage, 85 both ways, in fact. Passing net yardage, 292 to 230 in favor of Minnesota. Penalty yardage, Minnesota 7 for 93. The Jaguars had 14 penalties today for 114 yards. We'll break those down coming up. The turnovers, no turnovers for the Jags. One, the lost fumble for Minnesota at the goal line. Time of possession pretty even. But there you have it, penalties. And, boy, those backed-up situations. The Jags in the goal line situation got out today a couple of times. Could have been a lot worse. There you have it, the team statistics this afternoon.
All right, some individual numbers for you today. Blake Bortles, as mentioned, 23 of 37, 257, and the one touchdown today, a 91.8 quarterback rating. But that comes up short to Sam Bradford, 24 out of 34, 292 and a touchdown, no interceptions today. Bradford's quarterback rating 106.5 on the day. T.J. Yeldon led all ball carriers today, 17 carries for 59 yards, 3.5 yards a pop with a long of 12. Blake and Corey Grant each had 13. That rounded out the Jaguars' total there. Matt Asiata led the way on the ground, 11 carries for 37 yards and a short touchdown for the Vikings. Marquise Lee, 5 grabs on 8 targets, averaged 22.6 yards per reception today, had a total of 113 yards through the air. Brian Walters, 4 for 31, did catch the touchdown from Blake, and T.J. Yeldon, 7 out of the backfield for 31 yards. Adam Thielen led the way for the Vikings, 4 grabs for 101, and Kyle Rudolph, 4 for 60, including the touchdown late. Jonathan Cyprien on the day, 14 total tackles, 10 of those solos, had the forced fumble. Got lost in coverage a few times as well today, but Cyprien pretty active out there. Paul Posluszny, 8 solo tackles, part of his 10 total on the day, including one tackle for a loss. And those are your defensive leaders for the Jags.
There you have it. You know, Fred, we've talked about Marquise Lee today. Let's go to the rushing game. T.J. Yeldon, 17 carries, 59 yards. What'd you make of the Jags' running attack today?
3.5 isn't terrible, but it's not enough to get it done. It's against the Minnesota defense, who's tough. They were fighting. They were fighting. I saw a few plays out there that I thought TJ could have hit with a little bit more authority, a little bit more decisiveness. But, again, he's out there. I don't want a Monday morning quarterbacking. Not enough, but with what they have, I mean, you got to take 3.5. They were in a few situations. They were in third and manageable that I felt that they should have converted, and then they get a penalty or something and it'll, you know, back them up a little bit. Then I think a few weeks ago there's a stat, third and 8 or more is 14%. So as long as they can stay in third and manageable, they give themselves a shot. But again, not enough.
Fred, did you feel at all like they were a little bit predictable? Now I have to check the numbers on this. It just felt like watching the game today, a lot of times they go incomplete on first down, and they'd run an inside handoff out of the shotgun to T.J. Yeldon, and it wasn't getting a whole lot, setting up a lot of third and either, you know, third and 5 to third and 10 mm-hmm. type situations. Or was that something you felt watching the game, or is that just something that I thought.
No, I mean, watching the game, I didn't see a real rhythm. You know, I didn't see a true rhythm. I felt that in certain situations, and again, Monday morning offensive coordinator, whatever sure. you want to call me, I would have probably done a few things differently. But again, this is their game plan. They study all week, so they went by, I guess, what they saw, whether it's run, pass, run. But I didn't think it was a true rhythm out there. But as well as the defense played, I think I would have been able to have a little bit more patience to call multiple run plays and give us a chance to set some things up. They didn't do it.
I'm sitting here looking at the long play list for the Minnesota Vikings. 10 play. Wait a minute. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 7 plays of 20 yards or longer for the Minnesota Vikings today. And that's not going to get it done. And it's a week that Todd Wash, Jaguars defensive coordinator, said, hey, we're trying to limit explosive plays. You have more of those, it adds up to points at the end, obviously. Didn't work out today. I mean, seven plays of 20 yards, that's not going to get it done on defense.
And I mean, you start the game with on first down, a 44-yarder to the tight end, of all people.
First play.
And then the very next series, a 41-yarder to Thielen. So, you have to ask yourself, did they see something on first down? You know, have the Jags been – you know, run heavy defensively on the first down, and they exploited it. So they're going to go back and watch the film and say, look, this is where we messed up. You're in position, got to find a way to make the play.
That doesn't even count the kickoff returns and all that right. stuff today, yep. which were big field flippers at certain points. We'll come back and pick a Jaguars Radio Network player of the game today. Final score, 25-16, the Vikings over the Jaguars. Jaguars postgame continues on Jaguars Radio.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's. Freaky fast. Freaky fresh.
Jimmy John's, America's number one sandwich delivery, fast head speaking. I'm on my way.
I'm in the backyard here, Ed.
Wow, you are fast.
Yes, sir. Freaky fast and freaky good. But I gotta say, I've never delivered to a dude in a doghouse.
Well, I'm definitely in the doghouse.
I thought in the doghouse was just an expression, a figure of speech.
Well, the doghouse is a very real place.
How long are you condemned to your canine quarters?
Too soon to tell, but on the bright side.
The doghouse has a bright side.
Yeah, the wife can't throw a lap this far.
I guess she's been working out.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's. Freaky fast. Freaky fresh.
Attention athletes, I'm Mindy Black, dietitian for the Jacksonville Jaguars, with a tip on how to take your game to the next level. Make Zach Snacks a part of your game plan. Omega-3s are essential for optimal brain function and recovery. If you need to increase your awareness and focus during practice and games, then you need Zach Snacks. It's a tasty way to get your omega-3s. Research tested and approved, Zach Snacks are an official snack of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So snack the way the pros snack. Find us at myzachsnacks.com.
Bowden Eye is the only center of excellence for cataract and refractive procedures in North Florida, specializing in laser cataract surgery. Why trust your vision to anyone else? Bowden Eye and Associates, keeping the First Coast focused with 4 locations in Jacksonville. Dry eye syndrome is very common with today's lifestyles and is many times misdiagnosed. A LipoFlow treatment can change your life in 12 minutes. Visit Bowden Eye and Associates, keeping the First Coast focused with 4 locations in Jacksonville.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan on creating the best customer experience.
Game day is special, and when the Jags take the field, we want every fan to have the best game day possible. That's why we partnered with Daly's. They even have 3 locations in the stadium. They know what makes for a great customer experience. From the kickoff kit program to the way they treat our fans at the game, it's like they say, it's nicer here. I can't think of a better game day partner. I also happen to like their coffee.
To experience what Shad's talking about, visit a Daly's at Riverbank Field or any of our 26 Jacksonville locations.
Jaguars postgame continues after a Jaguars loss in week 14. 25-16 the final score. The Minnesota Vikings improved to 7-6. The Jaguars fall to 2-11. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. You cringe, Fred, when I said that. I noticed.
2-11 is ugly. I don't care what anyone says. I'd rather be 0-13 at this. 2-11 is just a tease.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
It's just ugly. Yeah, I don't know. But a few of the old guys out there, we were saying maybe we can put a roster together and win 4 games at this point in the season.
Ooh. I know you can still bring it.
I got a little bit, but I don't know what will happen the following week.
We need a roster of about 250 guys because they could each give you about two drives. If you space them out, they'd be two really good drives. So you just got to shuffle them in and out a lot. That's what I think.
And a lot of Advil.
Something.
Who else is in playing shape of your group, by the way, before we move along?
I mean, I think our linebackers are ready. Aiken Adell, TJ Slaughter, they're ripped out. These guys, I'm like, what are you guys doing these days? Eating weights? A lot of guys out there look pretty good. We can move Sofa from tight end to maybe left guard.
Garrard looks like he could play linebacker these days.
Or maybe fullback.
Something like that, right? Yeah. Donovan's in great shape.
Long
McManus
snapper.
Is in great shape. The defense, I think we'd have a pretty stout defense. Put it all together.
Pretty good team out. Stu looks good.
Yeah.
Some good stuff out
Freddie
there.
Freddie T will give you a little run.
Well, no, these young guys, they'll run circles around us. We can't be foolish.
So let's get to the player of the game for the Jaguars Radio Network today. 25-16, the final. Yes, we know that. But we each and every week pick a Jaguars Radio Network player of the game anyway. I get a vote. Mike gets a vote. Fred gets a vote and a half. I think it's probably pretty easy today, fellas. What do you say, Fred?
I'm going to go with Marquise Lee. Spoke to him before the game. Told him, just keep it up. Whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. I'm impressed by the improvement on a week-to-week basis.
I'm right there with him. A good run after the catch today. Mm-hmm. And, ability to high point the ball. He went on the last one where he caught it and did a kind of a split in midair, came down with that first foot. That was really impressive. Yeah, Marquise Lee, he's been the best receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars this season and averaged over 22 yards a catch. Easy call today.
Yeah, 8 targets, 5 receptions, 113 yards, 22.6 average, a long of 39. Oh, and yeah, he's the kickoff returner too, and he's done pretty well in that role for the Jaguars. It is a unanimous decision today. He is the Jaguars Radio Network player of the game, Marquise Lee, with a fantastic day for the Jags. Unfortunately, in a losing effort today, 25-16. We'll return with the injury report. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
The Southern Chevy dealers and the Jaguars are teaming up to bring you the opportunity to win the ultimate VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. The grand prize includes round-trip airfare, hotel accommodations in the team hotel, tickets and pregame field passes for two to the Jaguars versus Colts game in Indianapolis on New Year's Day, and a brand new Chevy Malibu. 9 runner-up winners will win tickets and a money can't buy experience at a Jaguars home game in 2016. Visit any of your local Southern Chevy dealerships to enter today. Go to ChevyWinners.com for more information.
Bento Cafe brings a unique twist to authentic Asian food and sushi. Founded on the concept of blending a traditional Asian cuisine with a contemporary quick atmosphere, Bento cooks to order and prepares in minutes. Located in the St. John's Town Center and near Tinseltown, Bento Cafe, proud partner of the Jaguars. Do you like live music, holiday events, or local nightlife? Download Intego, Jacksonville's free app to find everything fun to do in the community, showcasing everything from shopping to pet parks. Built in Jacksonville, for Jacksonville. That's Intogo. Download today.
Take your team all the way in Madden NFL 17. Put yourself at the center of your team's championship run in franchise mode, delivering all new ways to play and more decisions to make.
Driven by the most balanced gameplay yet.
The deepest commentary in Madden NFL franchise history, featuring the all-new in-studio commentary team of Brandon Gordon and Charles Davis, along with fun and fresh ways to play such as Ultimate Team and Draft Champions. Madden NFL 17 is the most complete Madden ever. Madden NFL 17. In stores now.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of 5 boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Want to see yourself on the video boards at a Jaguars game this season? Now you can, thanks to the Selfies and Slices promotion brought to you by Mellow Mushroom and the Jaguars. Come into any Jacksonville area Mellow Mushroom and snap a selfie with their featured Jags player cutout. Post it on Instagram and make sure to tag @MellowJags and use the hashtag MellowJags for a chance to win 2 tickets to the next home game and see your picture on the big screen while you're at the game. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 years of age or older to enter. See official rules for details.
Man, I can't land this trick. The sun keeps getting in my eyes.
Here, you gotta try these Modison sunglasses. They're made from recycled skateboards.
I've never seen anything like these.
No two are alike. The Modiston has a bunch of different styles available, each with its own use and abuse graphics.
Whoa, light, comfy, and these lenses are amazing.
Yeah, they come with those sweet flex hinges and polarized lenses that keep the glare out of your eyes and you can't blame falling on the sun.
Right on. I'm definitely getting a pair of these.
Check out their full collection at Modiston.com.
Jaguars postgame continues. Final score of 25-16. The Vikings over the Jaguars. Vikings 7-6. Jaguars 2-11. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Time for the injury report presented by Baptist Health System. Changing health care for good. At least that we know of. Nothing too notable today. Kelvin Beachum was out for a moment but came back into the ball game. Looked like he was favoring that knee, which he's still not fully recovered from, by the way. That's a work in progress. Mm-hmm. It's a little over a year since it happened. Well, a little further over a year since it happened now. Marquise Lee was out and obviously came back in and had a fantastic day. Other than that, I can't remember any big notables going down today.
No, not today, Fred, but the problem is over the last 2 to 3 weeks, you know, you look at the injury report, you come in today, no Chris Ivory, no mm-hmm. Denard Robinson, no Allen Hearns, Julius Thomas and Jared Odrick go on IR, right? No Brandon Linder. I mean, on and on and on. So they're already... You're lucky if you get through the game unscathed at this point because they're going deep right now, right. Particularly on the offensive side.
And that's the NFL. I mean, it's late in the season. This is what you're going to get. The great thing about it, though, the guys that hadn't played early in the year, they're getting an opportunity right now. And I'm sure they're not complaining. You know, they're coming to work, licking their chops, want to get out there and play. And I keep going back to the blessing in disguise that it is for the front office. You get to evaluate the talent. And start making decisions now. We got to be honest. There is no playoffs. You know, they have a lot of decisions they're making up front. So I think it's really a blessing in disguise for the young guys, for the organization, for everyone involved.
Yeah, Tyler Shatley made the start at center today. And even for a guy like him, he hasn't had a lot of playing time in his career here. It's a contract year for him.
Right.
He's restricted, I believe, but it's a big start for him.
Even
today.
Guys like, you know, like, well, true for Shatley, Cyprian, guys got to keep going out there, even though things aren't going great. It's a lot to play for. And just going back to it all, it looks the same. A lot of different bodies in there. You're not just getting blown out. You're still in the game. You're still fighting. So it means these guys have been coached fairly well. They've been paying attention in the meeting rooms, and they're getting out there and not necessarily missing a beat because you're not getting blown out while you're replacing bodies. You're not just doing enough to win.
We'll come back and preview next week's game. The Jaguars head to Houston to face the Houston Texans. We'll break that one down when we come back. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
This is Tony Baselli. With four drivers in my house, and two of them being teenage boys, my car insurance is one of the biggest pains in my pocketbook. After hearing about GEICO for years, I finally made a call to a local GEICO agent to get a quote. Wow, was I impressed. Not only did they save me a bunch of money on my insurance every month, but the process was quick and easy, and the agent I worked with, Margaret, treated me like family. I can't tell you how happy I am I made that call to a local GEICO agent. GEICO, saving people on car insurance for over 75 years.
Your family could go all the way to Super Bowl 51. Enter Ticketmaster's Super Bowl 51 Football is Family Sweepstakes, including four tickets to the Super Bowl, round trip airfare for four, a three-night hotel stay, a $500 gift card for the NFL shop, and more. To enter, text FAMILY to 842-538 or go to Ticketmaster.com/footballisfamily.
No purchase necessary. Legal license to U.S. Canada except QBC 18 plus. Void where prohibited. Ends 12 p.m. PTO on 127. See Ticketmaster.com/footballisfamily. For rules and alternative entry, message and data rates may apply. Up to two auto responses to entry. Sponsor Ticketmaster LLC.
The kick is up. It's good! It's time for field goals for Firehouse Subs. You could score a free Firehouse Sub when you register at Jaguars.com/Firehouse Subs. If the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, we'll send you a coupon for a free medium sub with purchase of a sub, chips, and a medium drink. Visit Jaguars.com/Firehouse Subs for complete details. It's Field Goals for Firehouse. Field goals have never been this tasty. Firehouse Subs.
Jaguars fans, if you're looking to buy a home or refinance your current mortgage, it's time to take it to the house with your hometown lender. EverBank and their team of home lending specialists are ready to go to work for you. with competitive rates, local expertise, and unbeatable service. So if you're ready to make the most of your lending experience, connect with an EverBank mortgage expert by visiting them online at everbank.com/lendingteam. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, EverBank is an equal housing lender. NMLS 399805.
Final moments of Jaguars postgame. If you're in Jacksonville, the Scoreboard Show is next on our flagship station, 1010XL. Your calls are coming up. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. We'll get to next week's game and the final three games in the season coming up. But we touched on it briefly, but let's go into it a little bit more. This weekend, the homecoming weekend, they called it, the Legends Community. But what, over 60 guys are back, Fred? Is that
yeah.
right?
60 guys, man. It was good to see all those guys, too. A lot of memories. Just looking at a guy, you say, oh, this is what he did, or this is what he did. A lot of stories at dinner last night. Kyle Brady, the infamous Mango. You guys, have you seen those skits?
I have not seen. He did Mango from Saturday Night Live, right?
Yeah, Saturday Night Live. Yeah, man.
And he is the last guy
that you, right.
that if you know Kyle at all, that you would picture doing that.
Right. But just, I'll give you a quick visual. Harley Davidson coming through the locker room. Can I say jockstrap on the radio?
Sure, I think you just did. Yeah.
So, with a jockstrap, nothing else but a jockstrap in a bucket of lollipops, tossing them out. So, I mean, with the Mango voice. So, and that's just one. So many. Well, it's a lot of stories. Big Sofa, you know, he's always around.
Yeah.
But Clint Ingram in town, Brian Ewu. Just, it's great to see that the older guys mix with, you know, the guys that were here just a few years ago. And this come back to support the weekend and support the team. And the outcome is always good. It's been good. Still growing.
For Jimmy on Saturday night, we know he got very emotional today. Did he get emotional last night or did he hold it in?
You know, he was a tough guy last night. And I said, you're going to cry. I said, you're going to cry. He's like, man, I ain't crying. I ain't crying. And he 2 minutes crying, 1 minute speech. And he didn't get a chance to thank everybody. So I teased him when he came on the set up there today. But it just happens, man. It's an emotional game. You know, a lot of support from everyone. Once the fans get the cheering and chanting your name, you see your name up there, it allows you to put things in perspective on the hard work, what it took to get there, because that ain't easy. That's one piece. And then what he had to endure, you know, knowing that, he had been waiting for a while. We all knew that he was deserving. But he had to endure a little bit more. But he's here. I told him, you're home now. So good thing, good deal.
Yeah, we mentioned in the pregame, but Jimmy told us earlier this week that, you know, you get knocked down. He did a lot of that to himself. He said, I've become a Pro Bowler at getting back up.
That's what he said.
You know, and that's a good way to look at it. You know, he said, look, I'll probably get knocked down again in my life like most people do. But you're right. The moment – I think the moment Jimmy lost it was when the curtain got pulled,
right?
And Shad counted down 3-2-1, and he saw his name, and it became real at that moment for him. And forget it; there was no hope for him.
He's right there, situated right next to his buddy, the guy who made it all possible, who helped him make it possible.
There you
Mark.
Go.
So they look good on that side. I'm hanging out on the left side with the big fella who opened up a lot of holes for me. A lot of guys are well deserving, man. So be a good thing to see. Who the next guy is going to be.
So the next game for the Jaguars is in Houston, Texas, against the Texans, a team that is, well, don't look now, they're tied for first place, 7-6. They won today. They're tied with Tennessee atop the AFC South, and that's going to be quite a race down the stretch here. But Jaguars at Houston, never an easy place to play, and it's a Houston team that certainly needs a win, and they got one in a big way today. What do you make of the Jaguars and the Texans next week, Fred?
Well, they're circling the wagons, trying to bring it back up. I think the first time around, Houston had a few defensive guys that were out. Houston's still playing steady. They're playing. They've been in games. I think it'll be a good game. The Jags got a lot in front of them to try and go down there and steal one, and that's what we got to call it now because they definitely will be the underdog. You want to try and disrupt. Somebody has to win the division, but I think if the team goes down there with a mindset, look, let's let these guys know, well, this year you beat us once, but we got to try and even a series for the season, and then we have to go and look forward to next year, whatever that may be. So you have to go down there and try and handle business.
Yeah, next 3 weeks, it's like that. Houston, and then home against Tennessee on Christmas Eve, and then New Year's Day at Lucas Oil Stadium against the Colts.
Yeah, Houston now 4-0 in the AFC South with their win over the Colts today. And they're a team that keeps you in the football game. The Jags stay in the football game. I don't think Houston's going to run and hide from them, but you know, based on current trends, you would expect, as Fred said, the Jags, the distinct underdog going into this football game, so we'll see if they can pull the upset.
All right, let's try not to open the game with a pick six, and that'll sort of keep you in the fight.
That's generally a good idea.
That's a good point, Fred.
Any football team, any week you play.
Fred, well done. We'll talk to you later this week.
Looking forward to it.
All right, Freddie T. By the way, JP, is that the coolest jacket you've seen?
Yeah,
we don't.
Awesome.
You have to earn that one.
Yeah,
the Legends community.
It'll just hand those out.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey, our senior VP of communications is Dan Edwards, manager of radio Joe Fortunato, Tyler Devitt and Linda Fortunato, producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Lagerman, Mike Dempsey, and everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick saying goodnight. Final score: Vikings 25, Jaguars 16, on the Jaguars Radio Network.